most important prophecy in the Bible. It contains everything. The second coming of the Lord. Everything is in it. If you understand the 70 weeks, you can pretty well handle all prophecy. If you cannot understand the 70 weeks, you cannot handle any prophecy. That's about the way it works. Yeah. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with the many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now I think it's probably time for me to read a little, elaborate a little bit more on that last verse, because that's a big verse. Now, the Amplified Version says this. This is verse 27. This is 9:27. And he will enter into a binding and irrevocable covenant with the many for 1 week. Parentheses, 7 years. But in the middle of the week, he will stop the sacrifice and grain offering, bracket, for the remaining 3.5 years. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until the complete destruction. One that is decreed is poured out on the one who causes the horror. The English Standard Version says, and he shall make a strong covenant with the many for 1 week, and for half of the week he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall come one who makes desolate, until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. The Revised Standard Version says, and he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week, and for half of the week he shall cause sacrifice and offering to cease. And upon the wing of abomination shall come one who makes desolate, until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. And my own translation of that is, he shall confirm a covenant with the many for 1 week, but in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and continual offering to cease. And upon the wing of abominations comes one who makes desolate, even until the end, when that which has been determined shall have been poured out upon the desolator. All right, so we're talking about the Antichrist. Now, let's go back and look again at the verse just before that, where it says that after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. And that's after 69 weeks, because that is 7 weeks plus 62 weeks gives you 69 weeks. Mm-hmm. So after the 69 weeks, Messiah's cut off. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now keep in mind, when Daniel got this prophecy, there was no city, nor was there a sanctuary. They were already in ruin. They were already in waste and nothing but a pile of rubble. So Daniel knows that according to this prophecy, The city and the sanctuary are going to be rebuilt, but guess what? They're going to be destroyed again. So, let me ask you. We know when Jesus, Messiah, was cut off, right? We know when that happened. When what's that all about? That's right. He was crucified 32 AD on the 14th day of Nisan, 32 AD. So he was cut off. And then it says, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. When did that happen?
It hasn't happened.
It hasn't happened. It did not happen. That did not happen. Somebody say didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
Didn't happen. Now, Dake says it did. Dake is wrong. Lots of people will tell you that it happened. And they'll tell you that the Romans did it. But they're wrong. Why are they wrong? They're wrong for a number of reasons. There are a couple of really good ones. Why? Somebody give me one.
Just see the law.
Huh?
Just see the law.
That's true.
It was off the clock.
It's off the clock! That's right. When the Romans destroyed the city, when the Romans destroyed the city in 70 AD, the clock hadn't run in 35 years. So it didn't count. What does it mean to be off the clock? It don't count. So the city could be rebuilt, destroyed, rebuilt, destroyed, rebuilt, destroyed, numbers of times. And it wouldn't count. Yeah. It's got to be on the clock or it don't count. The clock wasn't running. And then Corky is absolutely right also. They did not destroy the city the way Jesus said that it would be destroyed. So you got at least two things going here that says, wait a minute, no Romans here. No Romans here. Because first of all, it wasn't on the clock. Second of all, Jesus said, when this happens, and undoubtedly Jesus had this prophecy in mind. When he said, when this happens, there will not be a stone left upon a stone in Jerusalem. Well, guess what? You all did you see the Wailing Wall?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Are there stones on top of stones there?
Yes.
All right.
Big ones.
It did not happen. It did not happen. So, this says it's going to happen.
Yeah.
When is it going to happen?
After they rebuilt.
It's going to happen. That's true. They're going to have to rebuild. They're going to have to rebuild it, just like in Daniel's day. It wasn't there then. But now look, the Romans destroyed it. They're going to have to rebuild it and rebuild the temple because it's got to be destroyed again. It's got to come down again. And it's got to come down while it's on the clock. Or it don't count. Because what Daniel said here, when the destruction that Daniel saw, it was on the clock. It was during the last 7 years that the clock runs when the city and the sanctuary will be leveled. That means it's future. It has not happened. Who's going to do this? The Antichrists are going to do this, both of them. Both of them, yeah. Number one and number two. But Antichrist will do this. The armies of Antichrist are going to do this. They're going to destroy the city and the sanctuary. Jerusalem will be destroyed. It will be destroyed. The city will be destroyed, and there will be a temple rebuilt that will also be destroyed. Just like there wasn't a temple in Daniel's day. He saw a temple destroyed that wasn't there. And we see a temple. We know it's going to be destroyed, even though it's not there yet. We know it's going to have to be there in order to be destroyed. And since we don't see one, we know that the time is not right on top of us. We know the clock is not running because there's no temple there. Okay? Because, you know, 7 years is not very long. And you know, you got to, you know, unless you're going to just put up a little old Cracker Jack box of a temple, you know, it's going to take some time. You know, even if there were no impediments, and there are plenty of impediments right now to building the temple where the temple is supposed to go. There are plenty of them. Mm-hmm. Because you know that right there on the spot, of course, is one of Islam's holiest sites. And I expect that the Muslims might object strenuously if they attempted to build a temple, to tear down their holy site and build a Jewish holy site. I expect there would be some kickback. Well, so, you know, besides the lack of funds, it cost in modern money, it cost billions and billions of dollars to build either Solomon's temple or Herod's temple. Billions. Billions of dollars. The United States government itself would be hard put to build a temple. Well, Israel by itself could not even think about building a temple of any consequence compared to what used to stand there. So there's all kinds of impediments to the building of the temple, which makes us know that, look, you know, the clock is not running, and this is just one sign that, you know, we're not there yet. Praise God, we're not there yet. This is still the church age. This is still the grace dispensation. The times of the Gentiles have not come to an end. This is still our time, praise God. This is the time for the church to bloom and blossom, praise God. This is the greatest time that the church has ever had to live. Amen. But of course, there will come a time when that will change. But everything will have to be in place. And, you know, I'm sure Daniel must have kind of scratched his head when he heard this prophecy, and he thought, how in the world is all this going to come about? And it's enough to make you scratch your head and wonder how in the world any of this is going to come to pass. I can't even imagine. Another impediment, of course, they're going to be slaughtering animals. Lots of animals. Every single day, slaughtering animals. Now, right now, you know, killing animals is not cool.
Yeah.
And you know, and the Jewish people like to consider themselves to be sophisticated, cosmopolitan. They don't really want to be associated with barbarism and that kind of thing. And that is another problem that I don't think that there are a lot of priests over there lining up to want to go at this. Because priests stood in, they worked barefoot every day, from morning till night. They worked barefoot, walking around in blood, all day, every day.
Yeah.
This was a bloody, bloody affair. And I don't think there's a lot of folks lining up to get back in that business. They're not. That's another impediment. I don't know how it's going to happen. I can't see it. I know what Scripture says. I got to take it by faith. Because I can't see it. I'm walking by faith here because I can't explain it. I don't see it. But I know it says that. And I believe it.
I believe
it. How it's going to happen, I can't tell you. I cannot tell you. But I know that that's what it says is going to happen. All right. So there's all kinds of impediments. And that just tells you, okay, relax. Relax! We're off the clock. Cool out. Chill. Chill. Everything good. It's all cool. Yeah. Let's don't get, you know, worked into a frenzy. You know, blood moons and all that stuff. Don't worry about that. We're cool.
We did ask our guide about the red heifer ashes.
Yeah.
And...
Well, that's another impediment.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how, they're kind of like in a...
Catch-22.
It's a catch-22!
There are no red heifers, there's no red heifer ashes. You can't kill a red heifer unless you have ashes.
No!
Been anointed by the ashes.
No!
And so you...
You can't! You cannot!
And you can't...
You can't! You can't, they have no ashes for the red heifer that they needed to cleanse and sanctify the priest. And without, so, and you can't work, you can't get ashes from a red heifer without a sanctified priest.
Sanctified.
So you got, you see, what, so there's no way to get it started.
So.
You got no ashes to sanctify a priest. So that he can get ashes to sanctify a priest.
It's a
catch-22. It's difficult. How do you do this?
They would have to find some ashes that were stored away, and then they'd have to identify them somehow that they were.
Once again, you see, we're. I don't see it.
I don't see it.
But God is going to do. God is going to. It'll be a miracle.
This is something that we take by faith.
When it happens, God.
This is a faith thing.
Yeah.
We see that it's going to happen.
It is going
to. We don't know how it'll happen. I can't explain it, but it's going to happen.
Right. In the first place, there aren't any red heifers.
Well, that's another problem. That is another problem.
There are no red heifers.
There are no red heifers. All right.
I heard there are.
Now, this is really good. I read verse 24. I read verse 27 and verse 26 because we're going to start talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. Jerusalem will have to be destroyed in the future. This marvelous city, the joy of the whole earth, is going to be destroyed in the manner that Jesus said that it would be destroyed during the last 7 years. Okay, it's going to happen. Because it hasn't happened. And if it ever happens, it'll have to happen while it's on the clock. Once the clock stopped, then it was too late. Because if it happened, it didn't count. All right. So, all right. Now, so this clock business is so cool. You got to love the clock. And last time we passed out some review questions that focused in on the clock and on the week.
Yeah.
Now, some of you, praise God, actually got busy and filled out your review questions, praise the Lord. And we want to go over them. Some of you, about half of you, were not here when we passed them out, praise the Lord. But that's all right, we're going to go over them. And if you got them now, you can just fill in the blanks. But I'll tell you what you want to do with this. You want to put these in your Bible. And keep them there, and keep them handy, because every time you hear somebody speak on the end times, get them out and look at them.
Is it on the clock?
And see whether it matches up with this. And if it doesn't, then chill out! Cool. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Praise the Lord. All right.
Chillax.
Yeah.
It's all good. God is good.
Question number one. How many weeks are determined upon what?
70 weeks.
70 weeks are determined upon
thy
people and upon the
holy city.
That's what goes in there. That's right. 70 weeks. 70 times 7. 490. 490 prophetic years, 360 days each. And we talked about that a little bit last time. We'll talk about that a little bit more tonight, probably before time runs out. But this is I think it's important that we understand that it's 300, and those units of time are not 365 days, they're 360 days. And that's what we're going by. This is very strange. But I'm not, I digress, I get ahead of myself. Number two, 70 weeks is actually 70 weeks of?
Years.
There you go. Not 70 weeks of days, not 70 weeks of hours. These 70 weeks are divided into three time periods. They are?
7 weeks.
62 and 1.
That is correct. Amen. Praise the Lord. 7, 62, and 1. The total number of years in this prophecy is?
490.
490. How do we arrive at the number of years?
70 times 7.
Equals 490. That's exactly right.
You know, I just thought that's how many times you're supposed to forgive people.
That is correct.
Wow. Because of the message Sunday,
yes,
I'm sure.
Sunday morning.
That is correct.
Message in there.
There's a message in there. Uh-huh. Number six. From the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem under Messiah the Prince was?
69 weeks.
7.
7 weeks.
No, to restore to the Messiah the Prince. To Messiah.
Okay, excuse me. You're absolutely right.
You didn't feel yours out.
I didn't feel mine out.
Ah.
I better feel mine out. 69 weeks.
Yes.
69 weeks.
To Messiah comes.
You all keep me honest over here.
Yes, we're trying.
69 weeks, yes. Glory to God, that's the truth. Lord have mercy. All right. Anybody, nobody's messed up on that now, are they?
Nope.
69 weeks from the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince is 69 weeks. 483 years.
Right.
A biblical generation is?
40 years.
40 years, yes. 40 years. And I'm ready, Brother Pierce. You asked me that last time you were here. I'm going to give you... I'll give you four scriptures for that. The prophetic generation is 40 years. Psalms 95 and 10. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said it is a people that do err in their heart and they have not known my ways. So 40 years was I grieved with this generation. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So Isaiah 53 and 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation, for he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. Well, Jesus was 33 when he was cut off, leaving 7 years, which makes a 40 years generation. And he said, this generation is not going to pass away till everything I have described, which is my second coming, has been fulfilled. So, the 33 years that he was here on earth, plus the 7 years of the Great Tribulation, makes up his generation, 40 years. Also, when Peter was preaching on, I think it was his Pentecost message. Let me see if I can find that real quick. Peter, this Acts chapter 2. It might be Paul. Let's see if that's 13. I should have this marked in my Bible, so I'm not seeing it. It must be. Anyway, one of these guys said that David, after he had served his generation 40 years, after David served his generation 40 years, he died. Now, David's reign was 40 years. David's reign lasted 40 years. So his generation was 40 years. The New Testament tells us, and I can't lay my hands on it right now. I can't lay my eyes on it. But after David had served his generation for 40 years, he fell asleep.
Yes.
So there you go. Do you see it, Joanne?
Mm-mm, I don't see it. I don't see it.
All right.
We'll find it.
There.
We'll find it.
We'll find it.
Yep.
All right. Let's go back here. The generation is 40 years. Now, Daniel 9:26 says, after the 62 weeks shall Messiah be what?
Cut off.
It means he's going to be killed, but not for himself. Jesus was how many years of age when he was cut off?
33.
He was 33 years of age. Now this is interesting. This is an interesting couple of scriptures that I want to share with you. And I know you know they're there, but let's go to St. Luke chapter 3. This is how we know that it was 32 A.D. when Jesus was crucified. All right. Luke 3 and 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias the tetrarch of Abilene. Mm-hmm. Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests. Now Luke was absolutely going to nail the time down without any question whatsoever that we know exactly what year this was. The 15th year of the reign of Tiberius began August 19th, 28 A.D. August 19th, 28 A.D. Now we can see, scholars have identified no less than four Passovers that Jesus attended during his ministry, including the one where he died. So that's four. That would bring you to 32 A.D., okay? Mm-hmm. Now, verse 23, it says, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. Mm-hmm. All right? So we know that in 28 A.D., Jesus began to be about 30 years of age. So you hear a lot of discussion about, you know, when Jesus was born. And some folks will say 4 A.D., some people even say 4 B.C. 4 B.C.